When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
The Deadly Power of Love. This week on the podcast, LJ Smith's The Vampire Diaries, The Awakening, Volume 1.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Keita.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And today we are talking about LJ Smith, The Vampire Diaries. Finally, this is Volume 1, The Awakening. The Awakening.
Finally.
The Awakening.
Oh, man.
I truly did. I didn't even think about that. Oh, and thank you to Listener Cat for sending us these books.
Yeah.
20 years ago? I feel like 20 years ago.
It was 1893.
The year was. It was 83 years ago. And I can still smell the fresh paint.
It was long ago.
What a stupid book.
You guys?
Not exactly Night World.
Why did they adapt these? Like, does it get better?
It's probably just like, I do think this is far more, particularly for the time they made Vampire Diaries, a far more easily adapted.
It's easily marketed
because
as well.
Of the setting.
Yeah,
it's a high school. She stays in high school. She doesn't like go off and join one of the circles.
Yeah.
The circles are a very obvious love triangle.
Yeah. And the secret circle is like more, it's like almost vignettes, like each book is like its own thing.
Exactly.
Whereas this is, I mean, I'm assuming
the
we're going to still follow her.
Every book. I mean, I started because it had a sample of.
Oh yeah. It starts almost immediately.
Yeah.
I started it, but I was like, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
I don't want to put myself through more of this.
I went ahead and started it just because I was curious. And it does pick up immediately.
Yeah. I read like 4 pages and then I was like, I don't need to read the whole preview.
Yeah. Same.
We'll get to it.
The other thing is this was, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to assume that Stephanie Meyer read these books.
Whoa.
But it is just Twilight that fucks.
Yeah.
It is so Twilight.
Crazy.
Like, insanely Twilight-ish. So I would be shocked if it was not the inspiration for Twilight. And the Twilight craze was, like, cresting when they adapted Vampire Diaries. So it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, it makes wise. Okay, I get
why they,
why they
but,
would.
Like, story-wise, it's not nearly as good or interesting to me.
Mm-mm.
Like, I was invested in, I think because it's so similar to the soulmate premise of Night World, I was invested in Stefan and Elena. But I
Stefan,
like didn't really.
I read it as Stefan.
Stefan Urkel? it may be Stefan. Where am I getting? There's something where they say Stefan, and that's why that's in my head.
I've never heard it stuffing. So I don't think I've consumed this.
Where is there another Stefan, said Stefan, that had that pronunciation stuck in my head? I don't know. Maybe I'll think of it. Probably I won't. So
we'll continue to live on.
Choose your flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like invested in them being in love. Like I kind of, I liked those parts.
Yeah.
But I didn't really care about anything else.
No, me neither. I'm trying to pull up the back of the book.
I'll wait until you've read the back of the book because I don't want to get too deep into jumping around. But Catherine, the Catherine character is so funny to me.
Which one is Catherine? Is she the bitch?
Catherine is the Caroline is the bitch rival at school.
Oh.
Catherine is the girl in the past who looks like Elena.
Oh my God. What was there to like about her?
Nothing. I'm just amazed that she's
No. I mean from them.
Oh.
The guys.
She's pretty and it's olden days and you only had access to the people in your immediate circle.
I can't believe that she was like, guys,
I have the solution.
I have the solution and you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
This is non-negotiable. It is thruple or die.
Well, because also I have already done it.
I have already turned both of you into vampires. And if you're not okay with it, if you express even the slightest bit of resistance towards the idea that I have already executed, I will kill myself.
I will end it all in a pile of ashes.
Like, and then you guys have to deal with the fallout. I don't want to deal with the fallout. I'll be dead. So yeah, your brothers. Let's fuck.
Could not believe.
So
could not believe.
Sickening.
Sickening.
Like the delusion that this is the answer for all three.
Also,
of them.
She's they like, hate I each found, other.
Yeah, she knows that they hate each other.
They aren't already brother freaks that are like.
Yeah, they're not
already
like good buddies. Where she's like, we all hang out all the time anyway.
Yeah,
this isn't horns. to get into our outside genre book.
Patreon.com/teencreeps.
Have yet to release our deepest apologies for being late on all of our Patreon stuff. Illnesses, baby, jobs.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were all like this like little, like the three amigos, the three musketeers.
No.
It's always us, always together, all the time. They fucking already wanted to kill each other.
They hate each other already.
They already made her, they already gave her an ultimatum, him or me, forever, knowing she was a vampire.
That's why I was like, is she stupid? Like, does she have like a problem with thinking?
I think she's really stupid. I think she's really stupid and really
selfish.
And
how could they like her? Like, I mean, I guess guys like stupid
girls
all the time.
I don't even know her. It's just like,
I don't even know her.
I'm like so German and blonde.
That's all it is.
In Italy. And
yeah,
that's like maybe weird and exotic to you guys. And also I'm like so delicate and dumb.
Yeah, like she's
I guess it's just the classic
delicate
idea of having like a dumb, beautiful girl and guys loving that. Guys loving that.
I guess. The thing that
and we are both very dumb.
They are dumb, but they
everyone's
are schooled.
Dumb in this book. Except
they are schooled.
For Elena.
I guess Elena's smart.
Elena's not so dumb. She's got a strong personality.
I will say, this is another thing.
Okay, she's not. I don't like her even a tenth as much as any of the Night World.
No,
protagonists.
I mean, I guess her thing that I think that's a huge difference between this and Twilight, which is that she's very popular
and she's strong-willed,
and she's not just like a nothing person.
Yeah. She's not like, I'm so beautiful and clumsy.
Yeah, I'm just clumsy.
I'm just like so clumsy and it's just like, I'm so sad about being a fort.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So I'm going to read all I have.
And like, it's so like, I'm so upset that you look like you smelled something bad when I came in the room.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Okay.
I will say like Elena's reaction to Stefan rebuffing her is like, I have to make up a boyfriend now. Otherwise, I will be the laughing stock of this school.
Her pretend French boyfriend was like Jean-Pierre or something like that.
I think it is it. Is it Ben Schwartz's character from Parks and Rec's name?
What's his name?
Jean
Valjean.
Jean Valjean. Oh, 24601. His name was 24601. I can't remember it now.
Here. I'll put you out of your misery.
And I was reading the physical copy. I can't look it up.
Okay, so Jean Ralphio. It's not Jean Ralphio.
It was not that. it was like Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude. It was Jean-Claude. I can see it in the text. Jean-Claude. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read what I have on Goodreads. It doesn't tell us anything else other than what we said.
I forgot to bring my copy of the book into my office with me, and I don't want to go get it because if Ramona sees me and I leave, she will have a meltdown.
I can't get up to go get it because I have to go downstairs, and that requires me going on a ladder, and that's just like, it's not going to happen.
You're in an attic right now,
and
that's too hard.
That's at this point, I can't. I thought I took a picture of the back of the book, but I didn't. So, you know, whatever. That's the life that we're in. So I'm going to read what's on Goodreads, and then I'll
look elsewhere for another possible.
Also, we can just talk about it. You know, we can just talk
that's
about
true.
What happens in it.
Because
that's, you know, that is part of what we do on the show. All right.
What is this?
Who am I? Okay. A love triangle of unspeakable horror. Alina, searching for the ultimate thrill, she vowed to have Stefan. Stefan, haunted by his tragic past, he struggled to resist her passion. Damon, driven by revenge, he hunted the brother who betrayed him. The terrifying story of two vampire brothers and the beautiful girl torn between them. How do you think she's going to be connected to that Catherine girl?
I honestly think it is just that she looks like her.
The fuck?
I don't, because like Stefan later in like midway through the book is so definite about like, no, this is not Catherine reincarnated. They're too different. Like Catherine was like a beautiful white kitten and Elena is a white tiger.
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
So basically when we're talking about Catherine, it's because
guys in Vampire Diaries, at least on the poster of the show, like so not attractive.
Really?
Looks like some sort of like angel knockoff.
Oh yeah, the one on the left.
And then the other one, just the worst hair.
Yeah,
the worst hair.
I'm gonna look at this big poster.
Terrible
here.
Like 20.
This is come on, you guys. Why is this such a tiny fucking picture? in this book, Elena, she's hot shit. She can have any guy she wants. She's queen of the school. She comes back to school after vacation, and she's like, I do not want to be with my boyfriend anymore. He is not. I liked him.
Oh yeah, Matt.
Yeah,
he's the best one in the whole book.
Oh,
I kind of liked the friends too. Bonnie and...
Oh, yeah.
Madeline?
I was excited because I was like, Bonnie's for sure a fucking witch.
Yeah. She's definitely psychic, having visions.
I love how obsessed with druids she is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
the
guys, let's do a
we
druid.
We don't know how druids is said and spells
druids.
It. Druids.
D-R-O-O-I-D. But I like how she's so obsessed with them that like when they're planning the haunted house, she's like, what if we have like a druid part? And everyone's like, what? But they do it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Elena comes back to school. She dumps her boyfriend, Matt, because he's just too boring. He's handsome, but he's boring.
She wants to feel something for him, but doesn't.
Yeah. And she's like, he's a good guy. And he takes it so well. Oh, my God. And I did like, the thing I liked about Elena is that she was like, we saw her kind of becoming less of a narcissist as the book went on. Like mm-hmm. when she's like, shit, because Matt points out to her, he's like, you just think you're this main character, which I loved. And he was like, you think that we're all like bit players and we're not. Like, and now you're expecting me to help you like nail down this new kid, Stefan? Like,
mm-hmm.
what the fuck? But at the same time, he's like, but I'm still nice and friendly. And I see that these other two guys are being mean to Stefan. So I'm going to stand up for him. And now we're going to be friends. Like,
yep. I like that. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this is like a criticism of the genre as a whole of like teen vampire shit.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck is Stefan like, I need to start over, so I'm gonna like go to high school?
I don't know why that is ever a thing. Why any vampire character goes to high school? Like, at least in Last Vampire, Christopher Pike makes it make sense.
Yeah.
Which is that she's after the son of the private detective who had intel on her. And she wants to, like, get more information.
For him, nobody else truly
explains it. Like, in Twilight, they could all just be in their fucking 20s.
Why are they in high school? Why are they even
participating in human life? What's the point for them?
Why would you want to go to high school unless, right?
You were on the hunt.
Yes, like Darla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking of Darla, and then also the other thing, Angel, he doesn't pretend to be in high school.
No.
He doesn't go to the high school, and we're talking about Buffy here. But, like, so this where it's, like, this guy being, like, I need to go back to, like, who I was before, and, like, I need to forget my horrible past, so I'm going to go to high school.
Maybe it's just he's feels like
he didn't
get his youth, but, like,
you're never going to get your youth. You can never go back home.
Wildly different from our youth.
That's what I'm saying.
Why does he value this kind of society? Why does he feel the need to fit in? And also, we never even see him trying. All he does is get there and go, I'm too evil for all of this. Like, I don't deserve to be in your presence, and you're all temptations. It's like, okay, so remove yourself from the situation.
And that's the other thing. He's not learning anything. Like, he's not, like, learning social, like, modern social cues. He's not, he literally goes there, skulks around, tells a teacher off,
satisfyingly intimidates the bully teacher.
But, like, why? Why would he even, does he get out of that?
It's not like he saw Elena and had to be near her and so enrolled in high school. No. He sees Elena when he gets there and is upset about it.
Yeah. He's like, oh. And so this is a similar thing to Twilight where he sees her and his face is like, oh, disgusted. And she's like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. He hates me.
This is why I think she had to have read this book.
Yeah. But it's not because of that. It's because she looks exactly like this girl, Catherine, that he and his brother fought over in 15th century Vienna when they were in the Renaissance. So also, what the fuck was he doing for all those years, too?
I think, well, it was Florence, I think.
Florence, yeah.
And it says he was, like, just, like, miserably stalking around Italy. Because he only moved there because his brother was, like, I've kept tabs on you, get out, or like, you'll regret it. And he, like, understood that to mean his brother was going to kill him if he didn't leave.
But it's like, just, why now? Why now is he going to this high school? I guess because they're soulmates and he's drawn to
it. But
it doesn't tell us anything on those lines. And we're in his head, so there's a chance
for us to hear that. Ample opportunity for L.J. Smith to elaborate on why he felt the need to enroll in high school. And it's not as though...
I get it if you're on the hunt. I get it if you are... searching for someone. I get it. All of the there has to be a reason. There's just, like, literally no reason.
It's not like, I mean, I'm sure he can pass himself off as being in his 20s. It's not like somebody's gonna see him and be like a truancy officer and be like, you should be in school, young man. And so he, like, has to join high school.
Also, it's a lot of it is in how you dress, right?
Mm-hmm. And he already dresses older.
I know.
And cooler. I mean, at least in Twilight, the story is like they're still pretending to be a family because, like, the dad wants to practice medicine. And so, like, all the kids have to enroll in high school, so they seem, like, relatively normal.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't make sense because it's like, well, that's only gonna last them for, like,
well, yeah, because teachers work at places for longer than 4 years.
And the people in town are going to be like,
yeah,
after about
that kid's
10,
still in
like,
high school.
You can pretend that, why are you doing thumbs up? You can pretend, I like, it was this. You can pretend like, oh, we went to high school and now we graduated high school. But once they're around like 30, it's going to be like, why aren't you guys aging?
I know.
It just doesn't make any, like, just also be adults. Just also be adults.
Yeah.
Because you have to move from town to town anyway. Anyway.
Well, I get it, right? Like, when you're like, okay, I need this to be in for teens because this is a teen book and blah, blah, blah.
So it has
and
to
just
take...
give him a fucking reason. Yeah. Give him a reason.
It's like, I mean, yeah, literally, I understand why you're putting it in a high school. But but there's got to be some kind of justification. Yeah.
In the world of the book, why the fuck is he there? I would be like, why? And then that's the other thing. I mean, obviously, this is such a like 2002 thought. Not 2002. Let's say 2012 thought of like, but really, though, like if you're like a creep factor aside. If you're 400 years old, why the fuck are you interested in hanging out with teenagers? Like, I'm only 22, and, like, I don't want to hang out with teenagers.
I mean, it's, like, already at, like, age 21, because I can drink now.
Yeah, now that I can drink.
Even that seems, like, just, like, too young.
It's just, like, so childlike. Like, what do I have in common with
when I'm out with my, like, young people friends.
With my fellow when I'm out, like, early 20s.
Clubbing with my fellow 20-year-olds.
Like, Gen Zers. Like, when me and all of my other Gen Zers are out.
It's, like, when me and my Gen Z besties are out on the town, I'm not, like, where are the alphas to hang out with? Where's Gen Alpha? I would love to hang out with a Gen Alpha, being Gen Z.
But truly, like, what the fuck does he have in common with that?
I mean,
like,
I was reading I was reading a Dear Prudence column in Slate this morning, and it was like a 60-year-old lamenting that, like, the 30-year-olds that she works with don't want to be friends with her. And she's like, but I really want intergenerational friendships. And, like, but, like, they just automatically assume I don't know the lingo or that I, like, hold discriminatory views. But I'm like, I'm not like that at all. And I want to, like, hang out with people who will introduce me to, like, new things. And I'm like, you can still investigate that without having to be friends with people 30 years younger than you. This sounds to me like you need to investigate why you can't just, like, accept that you're aging.
Yeah. And also, like, you can be friendly with them at work, but, like,
you have to hang out.
Also, like, this is the other thing. You don't need to write Dear Prudence to be like, why don't these people want to hang out with me? Because the answer is probably, like, right there.
Because you will not... You're never going
to
want...
Nothing you can do to change it.
You're never going
to
want to know the real answer as to why someone won't hang out with you. And it's because they don't want to.
They don't
fucking
want to.
If they wanted to, they would. Something about you. And it's not even necessarily your fault. Maybe it truly is just the age. Like, if I was 30, I don't want to hang out with 60-year-olds. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
Like, even at my age, I don't want to hang out with 20-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I remember having, like, a 21-year-old scene partner in an acting class, and I was like, we have nothing to fucking talk about. Also, I felt like he was illiterate.
I will say, like, I've made friends with quite a few younger people in animation.
I'm younger.
You, yeah, you're younger than me.
I'm not that much younger, though.
You're
not,
like,
demonstrably.
Yeah, you're not of a different generation. And, like, and we get along great, but I've never been, like, there's something very telling about being that conscious about wanting a younger friend to, like, specifically, like, I want an intergenerational friend. It, like, it's such a pointed desire that it just says to me that it's not at all about the friendship, because then you'd be cool with it just happening naturally.
Well, it's like, labeling, like, why do you need to label it? Because if you're labeling it as an intergenerational friendship, then, like, there's the problem. You know, I was talking to someone about how, like, how do I put this? So there are certain like friends that I like don't mind. I don't even know how, okay, when we're talking, it's like a conversation, right? And it's like, I tell you how I'm doing, you tell me how you're doing, we ask each other questions, we're genuinely interested in like what's going on with each other's lives.
Close easily.
Yes. But there are some people who like, when they ask me how I'm doing, it feels like homework.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know that you don't give a shit because you aren't going to respond to anything I say. And it's just like, you're, it's like you read a book on like how to be a friend. And you're like, it's like, ask someone
how they're
how
doing.
They are.
Yeah.
And then you get to say what you want to say. And it's like, it doesn't feel like a genuine interest in me. It feels like I'm doing this to either A, be a good person, or B, like, this is how a conversation works. And so I'm like, I don't really feel like giving you a fucking book report on my life, because like, I know that you're not gonna, it isn't a conversation. You are queuing me up to then be like, how are you? So that you can tell me all of your shit. I don't know. Cause the thing is like, I am genuinely interested in how other people are doing and I want to know, and I want to like have a conversation. I don't know. It bothers me.
Yeah. That's a lot of like, acquaintances.
Yeah.
People you have to have small talk with.
But there are even like people that I don't know very well, right? Or acquaintances where I'm like talk to them and like, how are you? And I feel like this is a back and forth conversation and we both are interested in each other. It's
just like certain.
You can just feel the vibe where it's like, you're not interested. This is a script that we're interacting on and you actually do not have any interest in me. I don't know.
Yeah. Like this person who wrote into the column, to me, it seems like in trying to make friends with a younger person or when they talk to younger people, they are hoping to see a younger version of themselves reflected back at them. And instead, they're being met with the kids, like these younger people reacting to them as though they are, in fact, their age, which is like 60 something. And they're seeing themselves registering to the younger person as 60 something and they don't like looking in that mirror. Like either something they're like reading is 60 and so like it feels like a wall is up between them, and that's why these people they work with aren't like getting on a friendlier level with them. Or they are doing something to alienate them, like maybe not actually caring about how they're doing or being able to like just let conversation flow naturally. But like they are looking to see, they're looking for some sort of like fun house mirror where they can look at a younger version of themselves reflected back at them. They're not actually caring about the people. They're just like hoping to feel younger by being friends with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's wild to me that Prudy's advice back to them wasn't take a harder look at why you want this. Instead, it was just a bunch of advice about how to make younger friends. And I was like, why don't you see that they have a complex about this?
Yeah.
That it's not, because I'm not saying that like there can't be intergenerational friendships, but that it's gotten to a point where this person can't make them naturally and they've had to write an advice column about it. It's not about the friendship anymore.
No.
If it was, they would have given up, gotten different friends, or if it was like they'd be better at it. They'd be better at it.
Yeah.
If there weren't something else at work. And it's wild to me that Prudy's response wasn't, hey, investigate why you need this for yourself. Instead, it was join some groups where you can meet younger people.
What? So like I'd be like, why are you so obsessed with having young friends?
Exactly. And to the point where you are writing an advice column about it. That to me says something else is going on.
Yeah. Because
if it was truly just like a chill thing, you would have gone, huh, if it happens, it happens.
I know. And
but that you're like eyeing, that you're like shopping for young friends the same way these vampires are like
going to fucking high school.
High school. supposedly not to feed on young blood.
Yeah. Then why?
Doesn't feel honest. Doesn't feel honest.
I'm also feeling like this, just to briefly go back to this woman, she also wants just like validation from these people to be like, oh my God, you're so cool.
Oh my God, you don't seem 60.
Yeah, that's she what wants she's to hear.
Like every interaction with a young person, she's just hoping to hear, you don't seem whatever you're
Or to be like,
is.
Oh my God, wait, you're not 30?
100%.
Whoa.
Yeah, what, you're not? It's you so seem like you could be from my generation. Like that's all this woman wants. And I'm also just like assuming it's a woman. I don't actually remember if that's the case.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can actually find this.
I'm going to open a window really quick. But yeah, it's kind of like why on earth, excuse me, while I squeak
just
around my microphone.
Not feel honest.
Well, most Dear Prudence, like most, I like when the advice columnist can see through someone's letter.
Yeah, and I do feel like Dear Prudence is
pretty
usually
good. It depends on who it is, I guess, because, you know, it's different people.
But I will say that, like, all of the responses didn't feel that, like, frank or insightful. So maybe somebody new is doing it.
Maybe. I like when they're kind of like, okay, from how much you're mentioning this, it kind of sounds like you're really harping on this. Why?
Yeah.
Man, how mad do you have to be? How mad do you have to be to get a response like that, though? You, like, think, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to, like, hear from Prudy that I'm right. And it's like, okay, but then, oh, and then when you see it, can you imagine that feeling? So embarrassing and furious. Angry. What is it? You're scaring me.
Okay, let me just check Dear Prudence's response before I'm not even sure I want to share this. This is so wildly, like, fucked. I won't read it. I'll just, here's the headline.
I've read some pretty cursed Dear Prudies.
Do I need to invite my 13-year-old cousin with special needs to my no kids wedding? Ew. You awful person.
But also, here's my thing. If it's a no kids wedding, then no, right?
13 years old, though, is like...
Oh, but 13's older.
Is that really kids
I
at
think,
that point?
To me, like, kids is like anything under 18, right?
But
I was about to say such a dumb definition. I was like, if you're a child
of
someone... Most of
our younger children, and we know they will welcome a kid-free night they can get dressed up for, blah, blah, blah. My mom is very supportive that we want a kid-free wedding, with the exception of my fiance's niece, who will be a flower girl and then be tucked in for the reception.
Oh, that. Why do you need a flower girl then if you're having a kid-free wedding?
Yeah,
I think
you
should. It should be no
you
kids.
You can't allow your fiance's niece and then be like, but my, like, I know my mother wants to keep the guest list pretty exclusive, blah, blah, blah. I told my mom I was not interested in inviting my 13-year-old special needs cousin, Abby. My mother was pretty dead set on inviting her because she would love it. But my gut is strongly telling me I'm justified to invite or not invite anyone to my wedding.
Well, here's what I'll say. You're allowed to do anything you want. You can invite whoever you want and not invite whoever you want to your wedding, but you do have consequences. And if people are going to be mad at you, then they're going to be mad at you. It's probably not the most helpful advice, but...
And the response is, this situation involves a pretty big gap between what you are absolutely 100% entitled to do and what I think you should do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because...
Let me be clear. You can invite your uncle and only your uncle. You absolutely can. If he complains that he doesn't have a plus one for Abby, a completely reasonable response is, I'm sorry about that. We had to make some tough choices about the guest list, blah, blah, blah. You are right. It's your wedding. So if your primary goal is to make sure your special day looks and feels the way you want it to, tell your mom you have my blessing to make that choice. With that said, I want to urge you to think more about the bigger picture.
Because also, like, okay, so one kid is there. I don't know.
That just seems like gross. Because you're already letting one 13-year-old be the fucking, or maybe not a. Just a kid. You're letting one be a flower girl and no one else can come.
Kind of seems like she's kind of obsessed with, like, what the pictures will look like.
Or, like, I don't know. This just feels grossly ableist.
Oh, well, yeah. Duh. Because she's like, oh, what if she makes a scene?
Yeah. She's, I mean, and she doesn't even say what kind of special needs.
Why even mention that is the thing.
Exactly. It's like, you know the answer. I mean, with a lot of these letters.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
they just are desperately hoping for permission to kind of not be a nice person. Yep. That's what a lot of people do when they write to like Dear Abby or Dear Prudy.
Dear anybody.
They're like, please just tell me that like I can be really selfish. Oh, well, yeah, because there's so many of them. I get into a crazy hole every time I start reading the Dear Prudence stuff because I love gossip. I love gossip.
And it's like, if you read that, here are the other ones that I'm just like,
I know. That's like TikTok for a dork like me, is like just getting really stuck on Dear Prudence. Because I'm such a gossip rat. I love gossip.
Try to find here, human interests. Where are all of the...
You should be able to click
God
on
damn
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence. Well, I'm on the
Excuse me, I didn't mean to cough directly into the microphone.
I think I found it. Here we go. Dear Prudence, my social circles are a mix of folks from different backgrounds, cultures, and generations. That is, until the past few years. Suddenly, making friends with people younger than me has become hard. COVID made life weird for everybody. It made me a work-from-home employee with colleagues spread across the globe. It's hard to make new work friends via Slack and Zoom. On the upside, I got to move to a more affordable city where I volunteered at events and connected with people my age or older. However, I just turned 60, and 30-year-olds now talk to me like I don't know about polyamory, permaculture, or how to work my iPhone. What? I want my social life to include people who turn me onto new tunes or talk career pivots or who
new
need a
tunes?
Sympathetic ear. I know. Or who need a sympathetic ear as they parent teenagers. No 30-year-old is... I mean, some 30-year-olds are obviously parenting a teenager. That's not the average situation. I am a good listener, can organize anything, and I'm an enthusiastic, if untalented, dancer. Homophobia and religious intolerance have robbed me of family intergenerational relationships. How else can I invite younger adults into my life? Sincerely, cool auntie vibes. And then the response is, I am 100% sure that many younger people out there would absolutely love to be friends with you, would deeply appreciate your wisdom and perspective, and would be inspired to learn from you about how to remain vibrant and open-minded as they get older. I'm 100% sure that you have an aging complex.
I don't know. As I hear it, I don't feel as...
It wasn't like a...
Icked out.
But it's just like...
I just...
Yeah, it's like rereading it. It felt a lot more casual than I was remembering it. But it's just like... Again, keep in mind, this woman was so, has it on her mind so much that she wrote into an advice column.
Yeah,
about
to an advice column.
That's,
but
I
also,
think what
she
gets
seems
me.
Dorky. I think she's just a dork. I think she's like a dork that can't find friends, and many of her coworkers are young. And so she feels like maybe that's the reason. It's because they're young and they're treating me like I'm old. But like, onto new tunes, like, that's a little bit like, okay, well, I know how you talk. So you do talk like you're older. I don't know. Here's the other thing.
Maybe her issue is more that like people her age are shitty and conservative, and she moved to a more affordable city, which like probably doesn't have as many people who share her views. So I will retract some of my "you have a complex," but I still think it's like, do you really need to like write into an advice column?
No, I think I don't know that she has a complex. I just think she's probably dorky and annoying, because I like, there are plenty of like older people that I like, when I worked in an office way back, I had friends that were older and like I liked them and I would hang out with them. But I think
in rereading it, it did seem more like, my problem is everyone I know is on Zoom.
Yeah.
I need to meet people in real life who are a different age than me, and I don't know how to do that. So in my memory, it did get a little bit warped.
Yeah, and I think her being in a probably weird city.
I knocked the mic.
I knocked the mic, go knock the mic, baby. I think she's like in a weird city where,
like
you said, everyone her age is like a freak probably. And so she's like, okay, well, like people that I agree with.
Are generally younger.
Ideologically
and I don't
know how
to make friends with them because all the ones I work with are remote.
I don't know. Join a book club.
The letter felt different than me. That was basically her advice, is like, go join some like social organizations where you're bound to like meet a more cross-generational
you're, like,
group.
In contact with different people based on the interest.
I take back some of my
Well, I do still stand
about it, but it is, I do still stand by it in terms of vampires.
I stand by it in terms of vampires
in high school vampires.
And I stand by it in terms of the hypothetical that you created in your memory.
Mm-hmm.
For that person, sure. But for
the
like,
imaginary
this woman,
person whose letter I didn't read, she right. has a problem.
This imaginary person who's obsessed with having 30-year-old friends is a freak. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're just like, oh, I like want to be able to make friends and some of them I'd like for them to be that young, like, okay, fine. But yeah, vampires should stay out of high schools. That's a complete freak behavior. Like,
agreed. Why? Unless you're fucking hunting.
Unless you're hunting, unless you are trying to get
and then it makes
a
perfect
jewel.
Sense because you want young blood in your veins
sure.
or in your tummy.
Sure. Sure. Or you want to get like a jewel that's like in the basement of the high school. I'm just coming up with some
you want
random.
One of those high school basement jewels that we all had and talked about and knew about and couldn't get our hands on because we didn't have super strength.
Right, exactly. Or really fast speed. So
we couldn't speed down those basement stairs with our vampire speed. And as we all know, it was a timed issue.
Yeah, yeah. The doors like stay open for 4 seconds and then they close. So you have to.
Yeah, you really got to book it if you want to get
yeah,
to the basement jewel.
You got
to
boogie with your vampire powers. Okay. So.
And that jewel does give you the power to like survive daylight better. And it's just
true.
Like, it's so specific to vampires, that basement jewel.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of jewels that make you able to be in the sun.
Oh, yeah. Which is literally a thing in this book.
Catherine has one in, you know, Renaissance era.
Mm-hmm. A lapis lazuli. I'm probably saying that badly.
Lapis lazuli? Lazuli? Let's look it up.
Never know how to
computers.
Say that. Put it in an episode.
Here we go.
Fairly Odd Parents. Still don't know how to say it.
Lapis lazuli. Yep, I was right. Wow.
I have terrible instincts about pronunciation. I should never.
Really?
I will never be like, no, this is the hill I die on when it comes
pretty,
to pronunciation.
I have pretty good instincts until I'm extremely wrong. So
say good instincts with exceptions. Whereas I have bad instincts with exceptions.
With our powers combined, we could be either very good or very bad.
Very bad.
100% wrong.
Our powers combined, we could be a mess.
So in Italy, in ancient times, not ancient, Renaissance times.
Yeah.
Damon and what is that guy's name?
Stefan or Stefan.
Stefan. Stefan and Damon are brothers. They hate each other. Damon's like pretty evil. Stefan's like gentle. They both fall in love with this girl, Catherine. So this is what we were talking about before. So Catherine's like, she's a vampire. And she was like super sick and she was dying. And then her nurse like brought in some rando vampire guy to turn her so she wouldn't die. So she gets turned and she's like, I think like when she meets them, she's already a vampire. And she's like, I'm in love with both of you. But I need you to choose. I'm going to choose because they're like, you can't have us both. And she's like, fine. I'm going to choose between the both of you. And I'll
My answer by like.
By tonight.
Or whatever.
And you'll know. And so she goes to Stefan's room and turns him. And he's like, oh, my God, yay. She chose me. Mm-hmm. And they know that she can go out into the sun because she has this lapis lazuli ring that allows her to be in the sun. It still makes her sleepy, though. But she doesn't burst into flames. So then she's like, meet me outside. And so the brothers do. And she's like, so by now, you know that I've chosen one of you. And both of the brothers are like, hee hee, yes, it's me.
Or she's like, by now, you know that I've chosen.
Right. And they're like, ooh, it's me, it's me.
Yeah, because I know I'm a vampire now. And she's like,
except only partway, because apparently if they had just like let it happen, it would have gone out of their systems.
It's more like a blood disorder than complete species change.
Yeah. So basically it could go one of two ways. If they just like sleep on it, then they become human again. If
they die,
like,
keep drinking her blood or something for it to take. Yeah.
But if they die, then they turn into a vampire.
Yep.
So,
yeah. So she's like, okay, I made my choice. And
you're going to love it.
You are. I can't believe I hit upon the perfect solution. I choose the both of you. I turned you both without your knowledge that I turned the other.
She holds out like two rings and they're like, oh, you made two? And she's like, for both. And they're like, what?
What? Excuse? Scoozy?
Oh, yeah. Scoozy? They're like, Scoozy, you turned both of us.
You turned the both into a vampire.
And she's like, wait, German accent. It's true. I have turned both of you.
I've turned your both.
Like, but we are in love. And she's like, yes.
Yeah. I love
the both of you.
This both of you.
I'm in love with both of you.
Together forever.
And they're like, how could you do this?
We will be in trouble. I will fuck the both of you.
Both of you brothers. Both of you brothers will join an unholy union with my pussy as a conduit. With mine pussy.
This mine pussy, you will both be joined in a throuple of demonic nature.
You will be brothers of multiple dimensions, both blood and what, shared girlfriend.
We are truly the master race of peoples.
And then they're like, how could you do this?
Take these rings that I made for you with my servant girl.
Oh yeah, her servant. So then they're like,
bitch, what?
They're like, what the fuck?
What? And they're like turning a pizza.
Yeah.
Throwing dough in the air.
Yeah, and like one of them like goes down a pipe.
And I was like, doo, 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 doo.
So then they go.
Then they're in the underwater part.
Yeah, then they're in the underwater part, and then Yoshi's there, and he's like,
yep, yep, yep. And they're like, it's me, it's Stefan.
So then they come back, and...
Wait, I'm looking up how to print Stefan real quick.
Oh, right, because it would be...
Stefano.
It's probably Stefano. Mi mamma, she named Stefana.
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 That's how we said it, so that's how we Stefana. Have to say it.
Stefana. Okay, so the brothers...
She and Stefana.
And Damon. So.
Big surprise, the Damon one is evil.
I know.
Never name your kid Damon.
Don't name your kid Damon.
Never.
So then they're like, wow, that's fucked. So they get really mad. And then she locks herself in a room because she's like,
I have to think.
So she runs away. They try to get her in her room. She's gone.
They like don't see her, and then
they're like, "Knock, knock, are you there?"
Yeah, they're like, "Are you over it yet? We need to figure this out."
And the maid is like, "I think I'm also German.
I am probably also German."
So she left because she was so very angry, and then
I'm so worried about her.
And she's so sad. She cried.
She was so sad. You. Boys who upset her by not accepting her throuple proposition.
I can't believe that you wouldn't be brother lovers with her.
You're so selfish for my maiden.
For mine Frau? Is that what that is? Fraulein?
Fraulein.
So.
Mine Fraulein is so delicate and also a vampire, and you hurt her feelings.
So then they are like, we have to go. They're like, we have to go. So they run, and then they're like, it smells like cooking meat. And then, oh yeah, they're invincible at that point.
Yeah.
They like ate the star. And so they're like,
they ate a star.
So then they get there, and then the rainbow wears off. And then they're like.
And then they got small again.
Yeah, they got small. And they're like, oh.
They're like, there's her dress under the, there's her red dress under the tree.
It smells like cooking meat, but I don't see no pepperoni. And instead, it's just her fucking dead as like a little ash pile.
Yeah, just a pile of ash and a dress.
And her ring.
She left a letter. And honestly,
her letter was wackadoodle dandy.
I wish I had screenshotted or taken a photo of the letter.
Yeah.
I don't think I took a single photo. I was so over this book.
I didn't take any photos. I was just trying to get through it, brother.
Exactly. So it's basically just like, I see now that I made a terrible mistake in what I did, and I cannot deal with the pain. I don't want to go on anymore. I'm so undeserving of this trouble.
And then they're like,
I want to die.
So they're like, we have to murder each other now. So they do.
Yep. Damon stabs Stefan first.
Stefan.
And then Stefan stabs him back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they both die. They both get buried. And then they both wake up forever vampires.
They're vampires.
And then Damon, obviously the cooler of the two, goes off to enjoy his vampirehood and gaining in the powers. And Stefan only drinks from animals. And so he's just weaker for hundreds of years.
You know, I think he needs to, like, go to a blood bank or something and get stronger. So
he needs an angel setup for sure.
Yeah, because he cannot keep, like, sucking down rats.
I think what's going to happen is he just keeps, like, drinking from Elena.
Yeah, for sure.
But by the end of the book, honestly, like, things happen. They don't really matter to... I don't think we need to, like, relate every single...
No,
there's like a bunch of boring high school stuff about like a Halloween dance and a teacher. Damon kills a teacher. He makes it look like it was Stefan.
So Stefan freaks out and he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he lives in like a weird boarding house.
And like the boarding house owner, like Mrs. Flowers.
Yeah, Mrs. Flowers
seems to know there's something. I don't know. Doesn't she seems feel like she's it. A part of it?
Yeah, she does. She does. She does.
Like maybe she's a supernatural being as well. Also, that's an excellent, you bring up an excellent question I have. Does the night world exist with these vampires? Is one L.J. Smith vampire book in the same universe as all the, because they don't talk about soulmates. So I guess this is like a different vampire universe within L.J. Smith's mind, because they don't talk about soulmates. They don't talk about. Oh, internet getting weird.
Oh, yeah, your internet is getting weird. Oh, now it's normal.
They don't talk about Circle Daybreak or Circle whatever. There are no circles. No. There's no greater vampire lore. They don't talk about other creatures. So it seems like this is completely separate from Nightworld, which...
That's weird.
Feels weird. Yeah. It feels weird to write another vampire series and not have it be of that same lore. But also... You're a writer. Do whatever you want. I just think it's odd.
It is strange, but I'm thinking now of like different genres
with it.
I would as a writer, but also like
as the writer,
like if you think about fantasy books, for example, there are people who write many different fantasy books that there is no, but it's like there's elves in all this person's books, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that is world building though. And lore.
It's just that it's this, the same creature.
Mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm,
being mm-hmm. in that universe that I find odd.
I think I'm okay with it. But it is totally okay with it.
It's just like, it's just, it's so weird to be reading after having read what?
We read so many L.J. Smith books, yeah.
Nightworld books and have it not be Nightworld. It's just like, oh yeah, huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially because it's like, there's also witches. Because the friend is a witch.
Oh yeah. Because druids.
Druids.
It's just weird. It's just weird, but not wrong.
Not fatal.
She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. What are some other things?
So like Elena chases after him.
Elena's chased a bunch.
The story of Catherine to her and why he's so like fucked up. They had already kind of like settled something, but she didn't know he was a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like, oh, I actually like love you so much. And that's why I didn't want to hurt you.
Elena's being followed by a crow.
Oh, yeah. From the very beginning of the book.
And the crow
also,
is
she's
like,
writing in her diary, hence Vampire Diaries. Damon steals her diary at some point. It's really stupid that she doesn't know it's Damon. Disappeared after he randomly showed up at her friend's house. She like decided at the beginning of the book, like, I will have Stefan. And he rebuffs her. And so she makes up a story about having met somebody named Jean-Claude in France. And
yeah, has this French boyfriend.
To, like, save face. She's like truly doing some psycho shit, like sending herself flowers and pretending it's from him and showing a photo of him. But really, it was like some gardener in France that worked on her family's house.
Yeah.
Her parents are dead. That's relevant. She's got a four-year-old sister named Margaret. Maybe that becomes relevant at some point. She lives with her aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she and Stefan realize they're in love. Then the whole dance thing happens. Damon makes Stefan think that he did it. He runs away. She comes back to the boarding house and finds him, like, eating a dove.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, what the fuck is this?
Freaks out, falls off the roof trying to get away from him. He leaps down and catches her. That's when she's, like, really sure that he's supernatural. He reveals the whole story about his change and Catherine. And then she's like, oh, and God bless her for this. She's like, it's Damon, you dummy. Damon's here. Damon yeah. killed the teacher. Damon attacked what's-her-face in a cemetery. Vicky, I think. Damon killed that unhoused old man on the bridge. He's I've seen him a few times. He's trying to make you think that it was you. And Stefan's like, he wouldn't. And she's like,
why would he think that?
Why wouldn't he not?
Why? He knows that he hates
you. You know
him.
That he hates you.
Like, you know, he wants to kill you. Your whole history is that you hate each other and want to kill each other.
She's like, I've just heard this story and I immediately know it's Damon. So good for Elena on that front. She leaves. Then Stefan is missing because Damon attacked him. They had a fight in the woods when Stefan confronted him about what he'd been doing. And that's how the book ends. Is it Stefan's?
Yeah.
Stefan is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And Elena is like, Damon!
You know what? Woods. Props to her for doing that. I did like her screaming into the woods.
And I like, we both did then read some of the next book. And I like that she's like, I don't know how, but I'm going to fuck you up over this, Damon.
Yeah.
And she's like really standing her ground. She's so much stronger of a character than Bella.
Yes, of course.
It's ridiculous. So I like that about her, but she's still no Nightworld character.
No.
No. Everything feels like...
It just didn't
like,
have that...
Flightier.
Yeah, it didn't have that je ne sais quoi. I don't know.
I was just about to say je ne sais quoi. It's a joke. Yeah, it's just... It's missing a certain spark.
The soul and spirit.
Mm-hmm. It's missing talk of the soul. I don't know. It just feels a little...
The chemistry wasn't really there. And like, I think because there's no night world, it doesn't feel like a fleshed out world. It feels very small and not in a good way.
Having gotten the big climax of night world, it's like, why do we leave night world for this?
Right. Why are we night world, babes?
I want to know the end of night world. I want the fucking war of the circles, man.
I know.
So instead we're here. And it's like, why?
And there's just something more sexy about the Night World books.
It's just like, we gave Ash up for this.
I know, Ash is still fucking
hot. For this fucking wannabe Ash.
Mm-mm. Oh my God, Lindsay. Have you seen Dune 2 yet?
I haven't even seen Dune 1.
I have a new, like, cursed person that I think is hot.
Is it the Aaron Butler character?
Austin Butler, yes, it is.
Austin Butler.
And here's the thing: I actually find him quite repulsive.
Is it because he looks like the master?
It's because he is a hairless freak that is obsessed with hurting
in a robe,
people.
Like the master,
and like he's like literally a complete and utter freak. Like, and he's like part of the freak planet. The Harkonnens are all freaks. But like, that I don't know. He's like painting himself and like for his birthday, he wants to like murder people. I'm like, okay. He was disgusting. And every pic, his like eyes and teeth are black. And he has white skin, no eyebrows, no hair.
I haven't seen the movies. I've just seen like one or two.
He's just
press photos. And I knew immediately who you were going to say you had a new but nasty crush on.
Okay, but the pictures are repulsive. And he is actually very repulsive looking in that. And I have never found Austin
but
Butler
he's
hot
also
until
got
this moment.
Something. Okay, so here's why I actually made this face. It wasn't
why?
About Austin Butler. Nightworld came after Vampire Diaries.
What?
Yes. Vampire Diaries was 1991. Nightworld starts in 1996. So she left Vampire Diaries for Nightworld. And that's why it's not Nightworld.
Okay.
She came up with all of that after.
That makes sense. And that's like better, actually.
It's, and so, yeah, she just, she got better and she came up with
fleshed it out.
A more compelling universe.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's why. And then that's why she never finished Nightworld, is because it all came much later.
Yes. I also, you know what? Who knows? Maybe I'm speaking too soon, because maybe it really gets interesting and I'm just like, I don't know how much, how many more books of this I can do.
It just feels like, kind of like with Twilight.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be kind of just like repetitive and retreading. And I'm just like, I can only, it just, it doesn't feel like a very fleshed out love triangle.
No.
Well, because it's like Damon, so one-sided. She like is not, in, she's not into attracted Damon. To Damon, but she doesn't love him. She's not, there's never a question in Elena's mind who she's choosing. So she's like, also where, like,
she's also like not that attracted to Damon. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, mostly just like he's got charisma because he's got the powers and he looks like Stefan.
Yeah. But there's not like her being like, fuck, like I shouldn't be feeling like this. He's so fucking hot, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Like instead she's just like, oh, he did magic on me. I'm like, that's like.
Yeah. And she resists it. And that's what makes her like Bella, where she's just like so strong.
Yeah.
She's like got so much willpower.
Yeah.
That's her secret power. How much willpower she has.
I would, I don't know. I guess
Elena,
I'll reserve.
Dies in this series.
Does she?
Hmm. Or something? Because she, because Elena is not in as many episodes as other characters.
Interesting. I've never watched the series.
Me neither.
I'm going to reserve saying if you should read this or not, because we haven't read the others and like, as a standalone book, really I'd say good. Don't. But like, you know how like once people say, oh, watch this series, like it doesn't get good until like episode 5 or something, or like season 2, you know?
Oh, she doesn't leave until after the 6th season. So man, girl was just tired of making it.
I think she was tired. She was like, I have to go. I don't want to be in this,
like,
show anymore.
I want more of a career than this.
Yeah. Damn, when some of us are begging for just that. What?
I will say this is a bit of a spoiler. Do you want a spoiler?
I'll take it.
Because also
like,
it might be different from the books, but it says.
I'll take it. But if people
blah, blah,
don't want to spoil,
Elena
skip
is
ahead.
Blah, 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 who thinks she is just a normal human.
Oh, maybe she's a Lamia.
Or maybe she is Catherine.
She like lost her
like,
mems.
Literally Catherine. Maybe she like put a pile of ash and was like, I don't want to deal with either of you.
Because her parents are fucking dead. Her parents are dead, yo. So that means, yeah, I think that she is Catherine. She is Catherine. She just, like, lost her mom somehow.
But she does have a little sister.
Fuck that. Who cares?
Let's see. Let's
details. Just, details. We'll figure it out.
Let's just go ahead and spoil this for ourselves.
She is Catherine, right?
Where is the wiki? Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. I can't explain this, but if somebody has the name Elena, I assume that they're brunette. And so I like really struggled with remembering that she was blonde.
Really? I don't have the Elena brunette thing.
I don't know why. It may be because of the series. Like I remember those posters and she's.
She has brown hair in the posters?
She's got dark hair. Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
It's a new trilogy. It was ghostwritten. Oh. Wow. LJ Smith was just a work for hire on the idea. This wasn't her idea.
For the books?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or if it was her idea, she doesn't own it.
Interesting. Well, then that
sucks. So that's why they were able to get a ghostwriter later.
For the rest of the books?
Mm-hmm. After the series. So that maybe is why she went on to write Nightworld and why she, like, those books are a little better.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is later revealed. Beings. All right, you know what? I'm not spoiling this for you.
Is it huge?
It's pretty big. It's pretty big.
You always have all the spoils, and then I don't know them.
Yeah, but that's because I spoiled myself.
I know. Okay, don't spoil
it. I don't want to do it. It's a pretty big twist.
Oh my gosh, she's like his mom.
And in case anybody listening, she is his mom, and so like her, she wants to join us.
Brothers. What is this? Flowers in the Attic? Come on now.
Come on.
Come on now.
A different double initial name writer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. VC and LJ.
Man, I wish VC wrote more before she perished.
She's sad.
Because her stuff is good. Her stuff is really good. And even though it's very traumatic, it's still
it's
like
really sickening. Like,
but
she
it feels
truly
real.
Was, like, fucked in the head.
But it feels like she but, really yeah. Is like exploring real frustrations and anger and want. Like they're so
yeah,
full
they're,
of longing.
They are not YA.
No, no. But yeah, it's just like how different it is compared to her, like the ghostwritten ones. You know.
Yeah.
Neater. So yeah, I'll reserve saying read or don't read.
I would say
because I don't know. I guess read it.
You know what? If you're a fan of the genre, go for it.
Yeah. It's a quick
Maybe
read.
Maybe you would like There's it a, more than us.
Yeah.
I just missed Night World.
Me too. Yeah. But thank you everybody for listening. We really, really appreciate you. Patreon.com/teencreeps for a lot of you can see how lank my hair is today. You can see how flat and lank my hair is. If you can see videos of our episodes. We also have ad-free episodes. We have mini-sodes. We cover H2O Just Add Water. We have outside genre episodes. You can be in a raffle to pick the outside genre episode. There's so much for you to enjoy. So join that Patreon if you want. A very special shout out to our Patreon producers who give it the $15 a month level. Thank you, Adam Howitz.
Thank you, Amanda K.
Amy T.
Anne Dwyer.
Caitlin L.
Casey S.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Lamana.
Drew Ronis.
Ellie Lagos.
Elizabeth E.
Emma.
Erica T.
Aaron B.
Gabriela Santiago.
Gwendolyn Ludovic.
Hannah L.
Jeffrey L.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic.
Jesse T.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jessica U.
Jonathan Venable.
Keith Anderson.
Kelly Burns.
Carrie N.
Landry Desmond.
Larry Nguyen.
Laura Hooper.
Maddie M.
Megan Lozier.
Melanie M.
Melody.
Mikey Eunice.
Miguel Camacho.
Molly G.
Molly Marks.
Noah Spargo.
Rachel C.
Randy Klett.
Rebecca Goss.
Robert F.
Rogue Kalahua.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sylvie T.
Victoria Beck.
And Whitney E. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We really appreciate you. We will see you next episode. Until then, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Dog. Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.